Hello, everyone. It's Maura, and we're here with another Q-Lips English episode for you. Now, don't forget to go to our website, qlips.com, that's C-U-L-I-P-S.com, because there you can become a member. And when you're a Q-Lips member, you have access to transcripts, more explanations of the expressions we use, and quizzes. So check that out. There are examples on our website too if you want to have a look. You can also head on over to our Facebook page or say hi to us on Twitter. And if you have any questions or suggestions for episodes, don't be afraid to mention them to us. Now, today we're going to do a chatterbox episode, and that is where we get to chat about all different kinds of topics. And as you know, we also like to interview people. Today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to interview our friend Alexandre. All right, so why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about yourself?
All right, my name is Alexandre Bergeron from Nova Scotia, Canada. And I'm here in Montreal now, but I've only been here for a few years. I came here to teach English as a second language. And I was teaching conversational English classes. And in terms of what brought me here, I moved here with my girlfriend who goes to McGill. Montreal is just a glorious city, and often a lot of people where I'm from try and move here just because of the culture overall, and it's the appeal of the city. It has a very interesting reputation, so that's definitely one of the reasons I came here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in Montreal from all over. Actually, most of my friends are not from Montreal, but are from other places and provinces too. But at the same time, I've heard really great things about Nova Scotia. And I actually haven't been there. So can you tell us a little bit about Nova Scotia and what it's like?
Absolutely. Nova Scotia is it's a seaside province. It's one of the maritime provinces of Canada. So it's basically entirely surrounded by water. It's almost an island. It's in the shape of a lobster claw, which is part of its touristic appeal because this lobster is a really big food commodity there. People come from all over the world to taste the famous maritime lobsters. So Nova Scotia is an interesting province, especially for people trying to learn a second language, because it has an interesting bilingual culture that some people may not know about. Even people from within Canada are maybe not aware that there's the Acadian culture which exists in Nova Scotia. And that's quite an interesting story. It's the original settlers from France, when they originally landed in Canada, it was in the Maritimes. Actually, Nova Scotia was one of the main landing points. Over the course of history, these original French settlers were expelled by the English, who gained control and were exported. It's the Great Deportation, it's called. Some still remain or have moved back since, but a lot of the dispersed Acadian culture actually landed in Louisiana, which then became the French culture that exists there, the Cajuns, which is, the word Cajun actually comes from Acadien, which is kind of an Anglophonized version of Acadien, Cajun, you know, so it's kind of like a southern twang on the word. And Nova Scotia is beautiful. It's tourism is its main resource because all the fisheries have kind of suffered from overfishing. But it's a very beautiful place, so people come from all over the world to visit. It has a very vibrant cultural scene as well. A lot of Celtic culture that's kind of translated over from Ireland and Scotland. It's called Nova Scotia, which in Latin means New Scotland. So as a world traveler, I've visited Scotland, and it amazed me as how similar the terrain actually is. A lot of highlands, misty hills, those kind of things. So Nova Scotia, be there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is a place that I've always wanted to visit. I have been to the East Coast, And I'm sad to say that I've actually never had lobster, which I feel is just really sad because when you go out there, that's something that you should eat.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm actually living here. That's one of the things I miss most, though it's quite a rich dish, I must say, you know, so not all the time, but on special occasions, I get to go home and enjoy it, which is really lovely. Yeah, you should have tried it. You know, you really missed out.
I know. The next time I go there, it's definitely on the top of my list to do.
That's great.
All right, cool. So you talked about Nova Scotia being a bilingual place as well. So do most people speak English and French, or what is it like?
No, it's actually quite a division between the two. The majority of the population are Anglophone in Nova Scotia, but there's small pockets, especially on the western coast of, which is called the French coast, actually. It's where most of the Acadians live. And they have, you know, it is kind of unfortunate that there is a divide there, but it is a very separate thing. You drive there, they have their own flag, so you see their flags painted on the sides of barns. They're a very proud culture, because it's so kind of segregated, unfortunately, or at least, man, you know, it's maybe not segregated, but there is a division. So, but the majority, yes, are Anglophone, sadly, but, you know, I'm bilingual, so that must count for something, right?
Yeah, but that's it. Because you can speak English and French, you have a very unique perspective, and speaking both languages very well, you're able to be part of both cultures in a way.
Yeah, and then that was a huge advantage growing up. I actually went to a Francophone school growing up, which was, you know, really helped me gain that other side of the other side of the Nova Scotian perspective. I went to an Acadian school called L'École de la Rive Sud, and it was not in an Acadian area, but it was begun in the middle of an Anglophone area, and all the students in the area who had these Francophone roots were invited to come and go to this school. And in that way, we were able to meet and travel to all these kind of small pockets of Francophonia that exist within Nova Scotia. And I was able to see a lot of those areas that a lot of people take for granted in our province. So I was definitely fortunate in that way.
And so after spending your life there, growing up in Nova Scotia, you finally decided to leave and you came to Montreal, which kind of fits with the rest of your life because it's a very bilingual city. So again, you have English and French. So what drew you to Montreal? How did you choose this city?
Well, that was a huge draw, actually, the bilingual aspect. I was raised bilingually. My dad is from Quebec. He's from Quebec City, actually. I have a lot of family who lives throughout the province of Quebec. And the other side of my family is from Newfoundland, which is another very interesting part of our country. Yeah, but that was one of the main draws, was actually the bilingual aspect. Also, as I mentioned, the culture, just the amazing culture that exists here. Me as a musician, and many other things, but I'd say primarily I'm a musician, so that was a huge draw for me to come here. And because, you know, there's so many great bands, so much, you know, there's so much publicity surrounding Montreal in terms of artists innovating and making something interesting. So, you know, that was a big reason I came here, absolutely.
And so how has it been going for you since you got here? I know that Montreal has a well-known music scene. Did they welcome you with open arms?
Actually, you know, it was amazingly accommodating thus far. It's funny because I was playing music in the capital of Nova Scotia called Halifax. It's the city of Halifax for some time, and it was really good, but I've actually found Montreal to be more accommodating, even though I'm not from here. I didn't know anyone here. Originally, I moved here and started playing on my own, solo, acoustic guitar, just singing and playing on my own, and people responded really well, and I have since kind of had a bit of a band form around me just from people seeing me play live, and they've been extremely encouraging. So now I play with a band here and kind of become a little entrenched in the scene. People are starting to kind of know the name a little bit, and that's really exciting. We're playing some of the cool festivals that are happening throughout the summer here. The Fringe Festival that's put on by Saint-Armoise, We're playing Pop Montreal, which is kind of more in the fall, and a few others. So, yeah, it's been really encouraging and amazing, and it's really everything I could have hoped for.
Well, that's great. Mm. When did you start playing music, and how did you become so interested in it?
I've been playing music for a long time. Since I was quite young, I've started playing violin, kind of like a Celtic-style violin, when I was very young, 7 years old, I believe. Played that until I was in my late teens and kind of gave it up for guitar, which is the cooler instrument. And now I'm not sure if I agree, but back then I thought so. So I still play a little violin, but guitar is my main thing. I also played trumpet all throughout my high school years.
Were you in the band in school?
Yeah, I really was. I was actually a band geek. I was really into it. We went on many trips. And I played trumpet, and I was pretty into it. I still do, but guitar has definitely taken the center stage these days. But I do what I can, you know, to keep up with it.
Yeah. And what kind of music do you normally play?
It's rock and roll, I suppose. It has a little bit of an experimental side. It's a little strange, maybe nothing you would hear on the radio. Maybe, you know, kind of moving in a weirder direction, I think. So potentially you might be able to hear us on the radio at some point. It's rock music. I'm not really sure what that means anymore, but it's interesting, I'll say that.
It does seem that nowadays music gets broken down into smaller and smaller categories, and sometimes it's hard to know what it all means, or a certain kind of music has like three or four names attached to it.
I know, and that is kind of alienating for me. I find it a little strange how the culture's moved in that direction, where we just have to be so specific. But people like to, you know, they like to know about what they're hearing, what the product that they're receiving is. People want information. And the more and more we moved in the digital era towards a lot of information, you know, people are just, you know, they're wanting it more and more, you know, just progressively. So, yeah, the genre thing has become a little convoluted, but I think it can be interesting as long as you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us a little bit more about your band. Are you the singer? Who's in your band? How many people are there?
There's four of us, and I am the singer, one of two singers, but I'm what they call the lead singer, I guess. I write the majority of the songs, so it's kind of my responsibility to sing them, I suppose. But we're called Year of Glad, which is a strange name for a strange band, but it's a reference to one of my favorite novels, which is Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. It's a very long and long-winded book, but it's very beautiful. I recommend it. But yeah, we're called Year of Glad, and we're on the internet everywhere, I assume. So you could probably look into us if you're interested. Yeah.
Cool. I'm sure some people will.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, see, you grew up speaking two languages, and so you were able to do it naturally. So I'm not sure. Do you have any tips for learning languages? Because you were able to do it without having to study so hard and learn all this grammar later in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for me, learning, you know, I had to kind of get back into French, because when I was going to school growing up, though I went to an Acadian school for elementary school, I kind of moved away from that later years. So I kind of lost some of my French. And then I moved to France later on, and just being immersed in the culture was really what brought it back. And that's the main thing I could recommend to anyone, is just being deeply immersed in the culture. It's even more than just living somewhere. You have to go out and meet people and interact with people and really, you know, try and pick up on the cultural aspects, because that's what's really interesting about language, in my opinion. It's not so much the grammar and the lexicon, but it's really like the little subtleties and idiosyncrasies that the culture provides. So just get out there, you know. If you're living in an area where it isn't centered around the language you're trying to learn, that's not very helpful. But if you do live within a culture where you can go and just meet people and make friends who can only speak that language, then you're forced to learn. And I think that's really the thing that helped me the most. So, yeah.
Have you ever tried to learn a third language?
Yeah, very, you know, to a very small degree, though. I've just traveled in, like, some Spanish-speaking countries, Cuba and Spain. So I've definitely made an effort. And because there's somewhat of a crossover between French, all the Romantic languages have similar traits. I tried to pick up on it, but I was really kind of unsuccessful overall. It was a bit of embarrassment, but, you know, I tried at least, right? You know?
I think that's part of the process of learning a language is feeling very embarrassed, so it sounds normal.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, and that's all you can do. You have to put yourself out there, so, yeah.
Yep, that is it. No matter how difficult it is, you just got to keep trying. So you mentioned you went to Cuba and Spain. How long did you spend in Cuba?
Sometime, and I was there for about a few weeks. I went with my mom, who was teaching English there. I also helped out a bit in that regard. But I had been there on vacation previously, so we just both fell in love with the country. The culture is so interesting there, especially coming from a capitalist country like we do. That's all we see. To see communism from the inside was pretty remarkable. The people were also so nice and so accommodating. So, yeah, Cuba is just incredible. It's one of my favorite places I've visited. Other places I visited, if you're interested, I've been all over Europe because I lived there. I was lucky to have a home base in France. Traveled all around there. Let's see, Croatia, Greece, Spain, Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Italy.
Okay, Croatia. That's not a place that most people visit when they go to Europe.
No, that's true.
How was it there?
It was unbelievably beautiful. It's, you know, it's close to Greece, a similar kind of geography, but an interesting aspect because of the war in Yugoslavia. There was some interesting political things we kind of encountered along the way, remnants of the war, which is sad, but it's stunningly beautiful there, unbelievably beautiful. So we mostly went for the beach, but got some culture as well, I guess.
Nice. I've never heard that. You go to Croatia for the beach. Nice.
I'm just too cool.
All right. Good. Well, thanks a lot for letting me ask you questions and telling us about yourself.
It was my pleasure.
I'm sure some people's interests have been piqued and maybe your music will get some extra listens on the internet.
I can only hope so.
So we hope you enjoyed our interview with Alexandre and learning about his interesting life, what he's been doing, and a little bit more about the East Coast of Canada, too. Now, I'm going to remind you one more time to go to our website, qlips.com, and become a member. Because two things happen when you become a member. One, you get even more out of our episodes, and you also help support us at QLips. Your money goes to helping us pay for our website and to continue making these podcasts. And we appreciate everyone who becomes a member. If you're online and you're on Facebook, say hi, and we'll be sure to get back to you. That's it for this week. We will talk to you again soon. Bye, everyone.